It's time for our monthly catch-up with RNIB's campaigns team. Each month, we look at some of the current campaigns or some big successes and chat to some of the blind or partially sighted volunteers that help make a difference to the everyday lives of people with sight loss. Jessica Hall is with us today. Jess, thank you for joining us.
Great to be here.
Okay, let's delve in. We've got a few pieces to talk about today. And this was a parliamentary issue looking at assistive technology.
As part of our campaigning work for a more equal society, it's important for us to keep tabs on what's going on in Parliament, not just Prime Minister's question time, but also the activity of special committees and groups of MPs looking at specific issues. And select committees are of particular interest as they scrutinise the policy and practice of different government departments. We keenly follow the Work and Pensions Select Committee, who regularly examine the Department for Work and Pensions. Most recently, they've carried out an inquiry and produced a report on assistive technology. Richard Holmes, Parliamentary and Public Affairs Manager, tells us more.
We've been involved during the inquiry, and some members of the committee came to RNIB to look at assistive technology and also, I think most importantly, more mainstream technologies as well, because that was one of the key concerns of the committee about how we as visually impaired people can become more aware of and therefore more understanding of the usefulness and the availability of equipment across the board, rather than perhaps the more traditional, you use JAWS, you use Zoom Text, have much better advice and information about what's available and how it can be used.
The inquiry itself demonstrates huge steps forward when it comes to assistive technology, as Richard explains.
A lot of progress has already been made because there's already an understanding of what technology is, but crucially what it can do to help in everyday life and accessing and getting into employment in specific terms.
Technology is developing fast, and the inquiry delved further into what is becoming available, including mainstream products, and how this can benefit blind and partially sighted people.
What we need here is to be fully informed about what's available, both as employees but also for employers as well, to have a better understanding about access to work scheme as a whole and how it can help. But we're very pleased that this has been borne out by the report, that there is a sense of providers and producers being a bit too close together in terms of those who carry out assessments. So the breadth of information and the equipment available isn't always delivered to people when they have the assessment, and unless the person being assessed knows what's available, which is a big assumption I think, then it will be the traditional JAWS Zoom Text routes rather than the much broader, more mainstream equipment, which is invariably cheaper because it's produced on economies of scale and very often free once particular equipment has been purchased. So if you look at Apple products, for example, whilst the outlay is significant, the huge benefits from the vast array of free apps, for example, that are available, navigation apps amongst others, really brings that price into a true context compared with, say, the traditional, you have a laptop, you stick JAWS on top of it. That's a lot of money for equipment which arguably isn't as versatile and isn't as sustainable longer term than an Apple product where the technology is already integrated compared with the software being an add-on as if JAWS or Zoom Text. So there's a lot to think about.
Assistive technology can be expensive, but the inquiry also probes into the potential for using personal independence payments to secure these tools that make work and civic life more accessible. Richard outlined some of the proposals.
Around about the same time as this report came out, a report from another committee on civic engagement came out, and you could see a huge crossover of benefits there. So if someone was able to use some of their PIP or DLA to lease or purchase a product, then they could be much more confident about taking on some of the civic engagement issues that were raised in other reports around perhaps being a JP, just at a piece, around being a school governor, because we could feel much more confident about accessing information and being able to keep up with that information by having the right equipment. But it can't be any coincidence about the low level of civic engagement and the low level of this sort of equipment that people have. So we think there's a big benefit in the broader sense, and clearly a big benefit if we look to our initial conversation about employment as well, because independent job search, independent application process rather than relying on others to support that can only help a person increase their confidence and increase their employability.
Richard and the campaigns team here at RNIB will continue to liaise with the Department for Work and Pensions to ensure that the recommendations from the Select Committee are implemented to benefit blind and partially sighted people as they access the workplace and take part in civic life.
And we'll keep people up to date here on RNIB Connect Radio as well. Jess, we will be giving some contact details a little bit later if people want to learn more about the campaigns or indeed get involved themselves, or perhaps they have an issue they'd like to talk to you guys about. That's on the way. Now, though, we're looking at health news. This is capacity for care.
The NHS eye care system in England is currently failing patients. Demand for ophthalmology has increased significantly in recent years due to our ageing population and the availability of new treatments. Service provision is not keeping pace with demand, meaning that hospitals are delaying and cancelling appointments, resulting in people losing sight. We know this is causing up to 22 people to lose sight unnecessarily every month. The All-Party Parliamentary Group, or APPG, on eye health and visual impairment held an England-only inquiry during 2017 into the issue of capacity problems in NHS eye care services. They'll be releasing their findings in a report launch on the 6th of June 2018. RNIB has been long concerned about the capacity problems, and the report recommendations give us the opportunity to help change eye care provision in England to ensure that no one loses sight unnecessarily. And we want you to get involved. Taking part is really simple. All you need to do is ask your MP to attend the All-Party Parliamentary Group report launch event to learn about the challenges their constituents are facing and how they can help to implement the APPG's recommendations. You can find the MP invite by visiting our campaign webpages. Just go to www.rnib.org.uk/campaigns.
And we do encourage people to get involved and let your MPs know. Now, we often speak with some of our volunteer campaigners who themselves are blind or partially sighted, getting an idea of some of the campaigns they're involved in. But Jess, you've got some news about a brand new campaigner.
Yes, our campaigning at RNIB just wouldn't be possible without blind and partially sighted people all over the country willing to take action and call for a more equal and accessible society. And this month we caught up with Frankie Rowan, who's a new volunteer campaign coordinator from Durham in the northeast of England.
I lost my sight a couple of years ago off the back of a stroke. So I currently have no sight in my right eye at all and no central vision in my left. I've got diabetic retinopathy and glaucoma in the left eye as well. But with regards to my sight loss, it is actually a recent thing. I had 20/20 vision up until a couple of years ago till I actually had the stroke. So a bit of a big change for me.
Frankie explains how she first came across RNIB and first heard about campaigning with us.
I attended an event at St James's Park Football Stadium in Newcastle where there were various different sight services and groups and sort of businesses to do with sight loss. So there was a lot of technology groups there. There was obviously charities there and things. And that's where I first met Mike Hall and Francesca DiGiorgio from the RNIB. And they sort of had a chat with me and explained all about sort of RNIB Connect and campaigning and what their sort of main aims and goals were. And it just sounded really interesting. I had a lot of kind of ideas. And also I was ready to sort of hear other people's ideas and things as to what the charity and things were all about. Again, with it being a relatively new thing for me, I wasn't really aware of any of the work that the RNIB did or anything like that.
Campaigning is a great way to use skills that people have picked up throughout their lives and careers. Frankie told us about her job and how it's helping her to develop her campaigning skills.
My previous job, I worked as a prison officer, which obviously made me come into contact with various different people from various different backgrounds, a lot of quite challenging situations at some time. But also I think the main skill you need to do that kind of job is to be a good communicator. So I consider myself as a good listener. I can adapt to what people are saying, and I'm quite good at taking things on board and also giving my opinion as to how things can maybe improve or how people can look at things in maybe a different way. So I think my experience as a prison officer definitely helps with regards to connecting campaigning, because obviously you get people who've been campaigning things for years who might not have seen things from a, quote, younger perspective, or they might have sort of been doing the same sort of thing and have the same sort of goals for a long time. So I think it helps being a campaigner and being able to listen and communicate and also get your opinions and points across in a relatively simple manner, really.
From prison officer to sight loss campaigner, Frankie has taken a really interesting journey. As well as bringing skills with her into the volunteer campaign coordinator role, she's also been taking opportunities to learn from others.
Try and shadow as much as I can various different events and having meetings and things like that. Not so much full-on campaigning myself, but just see how others do it, really. I was fortunate enough to attend the meeting in Newcastle that they had to conclude and confirm the fact that the council has agreed to the street charter and all the suggestions that the various charities have put forward to make Newcastle more accessible. So that was really positive in the fact that to see that the end, when all the hard work had come together and see what kind of a result it had made really and how it had changed obviously people's lives around Newcastle was fantastic. So I've just tried to sort of apply things as much as I can locally, obviously with me being from Durham. So I sort of got together with a few of the connectors in Durham and just tried to apply some of those things and see how we could change things locally as well as a region, really.
We're looking forward to hearing what Frankie and other Durham campaigners get up to in the coming months with some potential activity to make computers at the local library accessible. We asked Frankie why she thinks it's important for blind and partially sighted people to get involved with campaigning.
Getting strength in numbers with regards to campaigning is the main thing. I think the bigger group and the more diverse group you can get together is definitely a massive positive thing. I would definitely recommend and encourage younger people to come forward and try and get their opinions across and points across and just how sight loss affects them. Because one thing I've noticed is that the RNIB sort of committee that I'm on and that the meetings we have tend to be sort of the older generation. And they've obviously been working towards the same targets and goals for quite a while. And I think especially now with technology and things and sight loss affects the younger generation maybe slightly differently than the older generation. So I think definitely the more younger people we can get on board, the better. And just get taken part in things like the Blue Badge campaign that I took part in. Just getting your opinions across about how things actually affect people personally as opposed to in like a wide spectrum, really, because I think it's really important. There's so many different types of sight loss and it affects so many people in different ways. Again, just the more diverse and the more opinions and voices we can get heard is a really positive thing.
Great to hear from Frankie and her encouragement for younger people like herself to get involved and get out there in making change happen. If you felt inspired by what Frankie had to say, then there are lots of ways to take part. You can sign up to our monthly campaign e-news to hear about opportunities for taking action. Simply visit our website www.rnib.org.uk/campaigns or call our campaigns hotline on 020 7391 2123.
Great to hear Frankie's story there. Follow up to Jessica Hall. Thank you for speaking with us on RNIB Connect Radio.
Really great to be here.